Blog Talk Radio.
We want to welcome everyone tuning in this morning to Answers for the Paranormal. Thanks for tuning in, and Joe and I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a prosperous and Happy New Year, one filled with the blessings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, this is our third annual Christmas message, and it really is a blessing for us to be on with you today. We're going to begin our show today by playing a Christmas carol. This one is from the album The Ultimate Christmas Collection by Michael W. Smith, and this song is called Son of God.
Unfold, Son of God.
steps in to die. Who could dream of such a thing? With us now, the King of Kings, men and angels bow and see, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Everyone back to Answers for the Paranormal. This is our Christmas broadcast, and that was Son of God. Joining me now on the line is my co-host, Joe Marotti. Morning, Joe.
Good morning, Bill. I'm here at Wawa this morning.
All right, he's in his Wawa office today.
Yeah, well, I thought that I would make a bit too much noise at home. Getting up this early, everybody's still sleeping, so it's always good to have a backup office, and Wawa is the perfect place for that.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, we've had an interesting start to our broadcast this morning, so
yeah,
we're just going to try and forge on here. You know, Joe, it's amazing the things that go wrong with technology. We've become so advanced in all the things that we're able to do, and yet some of the simplest things, they become difficult to be able to maneuver through when
mm-hmm.
something goes wrong. But we're live, we're streaming, and it's great to be together on Christmas morning, Joe. I really look forward to these every year, and I want to thank you for taking time out from your busy schedule at this time to come on,
and you as well, brother.
Yeah, amen. Well, last year on our broadcast, we took a little time and just talked about some of the things that come to our minds as we think about Christmas, and Joe has some thoughts that he wants to talk about now. So, brother, why don't you go ahead and and start off with those.
Yeah, you know, I think it was last year, Bill, or the Christmas before that, that we were discussing how it seems each year earlier and earlier Christmas music is heard on the radio stations and decorations go up. I noticed something very strange this year. Although the pattern continued with Christmas music starting, it was in October that I started hearing Christmas music and seeing Christmas decorations. I sent you a picture message from Lowe's.
Right.
Bill, I think it was that before Halloween?
Yeah, it was before Halloween.
It was before Halloween, yeah. So that trend continued, and people's decorations went up very early this year. And again, there was Christmas music on different stations, and a number of stations went to the all Christmas music format. It was either after, just after Thanksgiving, or just before that. But the strange thing I've noticed this year, bro, the actual week of Christmas, and even yesterday, Christmas Eve, and even this morning at Wawa, as I pull in, I don't hear Christmas music. Like, I'm in one of the home places, home centers, this past week three or four times, and it's just regular music. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with this picture? They start 2-3 months early with the Christmas music, and then when the actual day is about to arrive, they're switching over. Now, I know that the switchover goes from, like, December 26th when they stop playing Christmas music, and they start playing their regular format music again. But I never anticipated that the switchover would be before Christmas. So there's something very strange going on. Like, I pull into Wawa this morning, and the last song I expect to hear is Bad Moon Rising on Christmas music, Christmas morning by Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Yeah, that's
very strange.
That's amazing.
Very strange.
Very strange.
And there's a couple other things also that I noticed, particularly this year, as I was, you know, driving about with the family and by myself and had the radio on and Christmas songs would come on. There were a couple different times when I was attuned to what was actually being sung. And, you know, Bill, we've said this before, I would say 95% of what you hear at this time that is labeled as Christmas music, it's just basically just winter. They're winter songs. They have nothing to do with the birth of Christ. They're just songs that are played in the winter. They're, you know, Jingle Bells and Winter Wonderland. They're very, very nice songs, and I like almost all of them. They really have nothing to do with what this day is really celebrated for, which should be celebrated for, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But a couple of things that I heard that were repetitious, not new songs by any stretch. The songs that talk about peace on earth and that the hope that the world that is captured in these songs, that they're trying to capture the desire of the world for peace on earth. Peace between men. You know, the John Lennon song, Happy Christmas, War is Over. You hear that a million times this time of year. I even heard a Motown Christmas song that had the peace between men theme. There were a few other, like the Bing Crosby and David Bowie duet. When David Bowie is singing his part, he's talking about peace on earth. Can it be peace from now? Perhaps we'll see. We'll see the day of glory when men of goodwill live in peace again. And so there's just this theme of looking for peace on earth, but it's totally the antithesis of what the Bible talks about is going to happen on this earth. And even Jesus himself, when he was explaining who he was and what his mission was not to bring peace on earth, but he said he was going to bring a sword. And the peace that the angels announced, peace on earth, goodwill to all men on whom God's favor rests, the angels were bringing a message, and Jesus was bringing a message of peace between God and man. It's not playing out on this earth. It's going to have its consummation when we are with him, and when this earth is destroyed and the heavens are destroyed, as the Bible says they will be, and a new heaven and a new earth will be our dwelling place, and it will be with God. And that will be the consummation of the perfect peace. But the peace that the Bible explains is between God and men. And it's kind of sad to see the world groping for a peace that's just never going to come. There's always going to be hatred. There's always going to be warfare. There's always going to be murder, strife, and envy. And all the things that mark the reality that Satan is the god of this age. So it's just, I think, particularly this year, and I don't know why, I just heard that theme, because I think I heard a couple of new songs that were talking about this peace that people are looking for on earth that is never going to come. That's a heavy note that I wanted to touch on. And as we were driving, you know, what we've done the last, since we started doing our Christmas morning broadcasts, we've been talking about Christmas memories that each of us have had. And last night I was reminded of one as we drove to my wife's sister's house, about a half an hour from where we live. As we hit a particular stretch on Pennsylvania Turnpike, we ran into a couple of snow squalls, and it was just very strange because if you've ever come upon a snow squall, there's no snow, and then you're hit with heavy snow, and then there's no snow again.
Blinding.
Well, it wasn't that bad, but it wasn't like where you see a particular, usually a snow will start and it will intensify. This is like, it wasn't snowing, and then it's like right in the middle of a snowfall. And then it got to be a steady snowfall, and it reminded me of a Christmas memory that occurred when I was 18 years old, and I used to go to a relative's house. They had a couple of very young children, and I would go to their house on Christmas Eve. And this one particular Christmas Eve, the weather was atrocious. I mean, the temperature itself was in the single digits, and the road conditions were icy. I don't believe it was snowing. I think it was more of an ice fall, which made the roads extremely hazardous.
Yeah.
And there's one particular road that I was familiar with that I would take every morning to this individual's house because I worked with him. It was an up and down, almost like a roller coaster type road. And I'm driving my AMC for AMC Javelin, for those car enthusiasts that may remember the AMC Javelin. Not
You're going back on that?
Yeah, mid-70s car. Not very good in the snow, Bill. I mean, nowadays you have most vehicles are either all-track, they're all-wheel drive, four-wheel drive, or they're, at the very least, they're front-wheel drive. But this Javelin was rear-wheel drive, and man, by the grace of God, I got to where I was going. And one of the things that really marked the Christmas that they celebrated was, man, you could barely open the front. It was a very small cottage house. you could barely open the front door. There were gifts all over. I mean, it was piled 10 feet back from the tree. There were so many gifts there, you could hardly open the door. And the weather was so bad that night that I didn't want a chance going home. So I think it may be the only Christmas when I was that young, where I didn't spend it at home, Christmas Eve. And I actually woke up the next morning, and I think the roads, either the weather had cleared up or the roads had been salted, and I was able to make my way home. But it was a nerve-wracking experience just getting to that house. But it was well worth it. A number of other people slept over as well. We enjoyed ourselves. And last night reminded me, as we were driving through this very unusual snowfall on Christmas Eve. I can't remember the last time we had a snowfall on Christmas Eve. So that was a very nice memory that I had. How about you, brother? You got any new memories for us this year?
I do have a new one. Before we do that, Joe, would you like to take a call this morning?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's someone up besides us here on the East Coast. Let me bring this caller in. Caller, you're on the air with Answers for the Paranormal, Joe and Bill. Well, we just had them drop off, Joe. They were just looking. Yeah, they just, as soon as I brought them in, they dropped off. So
maybe the technology, Bill.
Caller, if you want to give us a call back real quick, I'll get you right on the air. Yeah, Joe, and you know, one of the things that is a little disconcerting this morning is that there is no one manning Blog Talk Radio's call-in desk. So if anyone else is experiencing difficulties this morning, they're doing the same thing I'm doing, sweating bullets. Well, you know, Joe, when you have to, you have a board that you're taking care of. You've done sound for so many years that, you know, it gets kind of crazy sometimes when things don't do what you want them to do or you expect them to do. And
one advantage that I didn't have, as you referred to me doing sound for a number of years at the congregation that we were both a part of. When things go wrong for you now, you don't have 100 eyes looking at you like it's your fault, you know? Like,
that's true.
Whenever something would happen with the sound, it's like, okay, at what point are all the heads going to turn around and look at me as if I'm doing something wrong? You know, it's sometimes things are out of your control. So just roll with the punches, brother. We'll get through it.
Yeah, we're rolling as best we can this morning, Joe.
Okay.
Yeah, new Christmas memory. Actually, it's pretty cool that you relate it back to something as you were experiencing it last night, related it back to an earlier time. And I kind of did the same thing. Same thing happened with me last night. And the earlier memory that I have is a lot of times on Christmas Eve when I was younger, we would have a time where, you know, you would open up one gift on Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day would be the normal unwrapping session. But it was the same kind of thing last night. Normally we just wait until Christmas morning and open up all our gifts, but last night we did one gift opening, and that kind of took me back to an earlier time when I think I was either just turned 13, so my teen years just started, or it was just prior to that. And you know, the whole belief in Santa Claus thing is done by that time. So, and any parents, if I've just ruined your Christmas morning, I apologize.
Right.
But it was about that time of my life, and so you know it wasn't anything that we had to wait for Christmas morning to open. So we just decided to open one gift, and you know what's strange, Joe? We never carried that on after that. I think that was the only year we did that, where we opened up the gift on Christmas Eve, and then opened the rest of our gifts on Christmas morning. So. Yeah, it did take me back to that time, and you know, whenever you go back in your mind's eye and try and picture something that happened in the past, you know, as we get on in years, Joe.
Yeah.
You know, the scene becomes a little fuzzier.
Oh, sure.
You know, than when you live through it. So. I was trying to remember, you know, were we sitting here, or, you know, was it on Valmore Road, or was that, you know, so you know, you're kind of going back and forth in your own
right.
mind as to what the surroundings were when you experienced it. But that was kind of fun to do. You know, I love just going back and thinking about things that you did in the past.
Yeah,
you know, because a lot of times it, you know, it kind of makes what you're going to be doing in the future more important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you going to repeat mistakes that you made in the past, or are you going to move on? And it did
right.
kind of bring a scripture to my mind. You know, Paul, when he's writing, he says, you know, leaving behind and straining forward.
Right.
We strive to take hold of the prize that is waiting for us. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a good reminder. Even though the past is, you know, fond and you remember some wonderful things.
Sure.
As a believer, you know, the past is not some place that that you want to be.
Right.
You want to be moving forward. You want to be being transformed more and more into the image of Christ. And
no question.
And
yeah.
And be waiting for that day when He is going to come and take us home. So.
Amen.
That was just one of the memories from last night.
I'll tell you one more thing, Bill. One more thing,
yeah.
Not a memory, but something, an observation.
Yeah.
And actually a couple, if we have the time. I'll try to make it quick. Something that always strikes me every year, because new artists, contemporary artists, are doing their own Christmas albums or Christmas CDs. So each
mm-hmm.
year you have more... an ever-increasing library of Christmas, quote-unquote, material that artists have that they make a lot of money from. And it's just very strange to hear people that you know are not professing believers singing Oh Holy Night, or It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, or Silent Night. What always struck me, Bill, is how can you sing those songs, those lyrics about Christ being Lord, and that He is King of Kings, and He's the King of Israel, and He's the Savior, and He's Emmanuel. How can you sing
mm-hmm.
those words and not really believe them?
Mm.
I don't understand how artists... I understand that... Number one, people buy Christmas albums and they make a lot of money. I understand that, but I don't know how you stand. I don't understand how you can sleep at night, because you're not believing really what you're singing. Now, when they write their own songs, of course, now naturally they're believing what they're singing because it's coming from them. But the thing about the incarnation of Jesus Christ, of God, of Emmanuel, God with us, it's just very, and, you know, I've heard a few more contemporary artists, it's just weird to hear them sing that and know that they don't believe what they're singing. And it just comes across as, can you listen to Christmas songs, Bill, and can you tell that it's just kind of mailed in? I can hear that when I hear someone sing "O Holy Night," and they got the technicalities down perfect. The mechanical aspect is perfect. It's impeccable. But there's nothing behind what they're singing. I can always tell when an artist is mailing it in.
Yeah,
it's just another song, and it just always struck me as very empty and very hollow, and it's sad to hear people sing these types of profound songs of salvation, of the incarnation, and not really believe it.
Yeah.
And on a lighter note, Bill, I don't know if you've noticed that the packages, the money that we spend, it seems each year, maybe not us particularly, but people in general, on Christmas gifts increases a little bit each year. But the packages get smaller and smaller and fewer. You notice that?
Oh, yeah, like everything else, Joe. Remember when you could go to the grocery store and, you know, for $100 you'd have 5-6 bags. The other day, for $100, Joe, I had 2 bags and I had no groceries. It was all, you know, cleaning supplies and, things for the bathroom. And it's incredible, Joe, just the way inflation has taken over.
It's that, and it's also electronics.
Mm.
The electronics that are available to us, the capabilities of electronic equipment, when you talk about cell phones and iPads and Blackberries and all sorts of technology, and this year it's the tablets that are very popular,
right.
You know, like the Kindles.
Yeah.
You spend so much money and they get smaller and smaller and smaller. So, you know, there's going to come a time when you're going to need some high-powered glasses to see what's underneath the Christmas tree. The gifts are going to be so small. Less and less spent on Christmas wrap. I'd be interested to see a study of if people are using less Christmas paper each year because they're getting smaller and smaller. And, you know, you spend so much money for something electronic. How much can you spend? It used to be when you bought stuff for your kids, you know, dolls, matchboxes, toy cars, you know, stuff like that where you'd have 10, 15 gifts under the tree for them. Now you got one or two, and you're spending twice as much.
Mm.
So it's another one of the things that are trending, in my opinion, towards having a less and less jolly Christmas. So,
yeah, I know what you mean, brother.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to segue now into our icebreaker segment.
Yeah.
And this is where Joe and I ask a question of each other, and neither of us know what that question is going to be. So this is our icebreaker session this Christmas morning, and it's, Joe, it's still dark out. How you doing up there?
I'm doing good. I'm running the car every now and then to keep warm.
Right.
So it's it's still dark. Still depending on the lights here at Wawa and my car lights, you know, the interior lights. So you want to go first with your question?
Sure, I'll go first.
Okay, sure.
All right, Joe, if there's you know how in whenever there's a movie being filmed, you know, the director will talk about a certain scene. And they'll number the scenes, you know, scene 1, take 1, so on and so forth. All right, if your Christmas memories were like that, to where they would all be a different scene, what one scene in your experience of Christmas would you like to have played over and over again? So, Joe, this is scene one, take one. What scene would you like to have played over and over?
That's a good question, and I can go back as far back as I want to go.
Far back as you want to go.
A scene played over and over. I would have to say the scene of, and this is a scene, I guess, that is replayed over and over with each year for those who have children. But I'm thinking particularly of being in this one small house that we lived in. The expressions on my two oldest daughters as they were coming down those narrow steps that led from our second floor down to our first floor, and just the joy that was on. And, you know, again, this was even before I was a believer and when we were still doing the Santa thing. So the night, the Christmas Eve, when they were in bed would be when my wife and I would put all the gifts under the tree. And so they would wake up, they would go to sleep with, you know, nothing there. And just the joy on their faces when they came down and saw those. And we went overboard. We used to do. I was mainly guilty for that. I like to get a lot of small things. So there'd be a lot of stuff on, like, you know, $5 on this, a couple bucks on that. So they would wake up to a whole bunch of gifts under the tree. And just the unmitigated joy that was on their faces at receiving, at looking at all those gifts and wondering which ones were for them. It's something that you would want to see on your child's face all the time. And it's, you know, as I'm thinking about it, trying to relate it into spiritual terms, that's the joy that I would want to see as they would come to terms with the real gift of Christmas, Jesus Christ, and how that's an everlasting gift. And it would be, that's the joy that I would like to see on my loved ones' faces, as they received the precious gift of Christ. But that's a scene that I would like to play over and over, just to have that look on my children's faces of just pure joy. And, you know, nothing else mattered. That one moment in time, their whole beings were filled with joy. So how about you?
Yeah, that's really good, Joe. That's a great answer. For me, yeah, there was, as I was preparing that question, I was thinking and I went back way back to probably my first memory of Christmas. And it was something similar to that, coming down the but, you know, not watching my children do that, but this was me coming down the steps and seeing just, you know, the tree all lit up, the trains going around on the platform, music playing, the gifts all around the tree.
Right.
And you're kind of like in awe of what you're looking at, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's, and especially you know, I'm probably, as I'm thinking back to this, I'm probably about 5 years old. And, you know, certainly it wasn't the first time that I experienced it. You know, I'm sure my parents brought me down and, you know, on Christmas morning, and I was around that scene of the, you know, all the gifts around and everything, but this is the first time I could actually remember it.
Yeah.
And it's something that does, it kind of imprint itself in your mind. And, you know, we all have different things like that, that just impresses itself upon your memory, and that is one of them that I think that I'll always remember, is just that, you know, kind of if you could take a snapshot of it, you know, and just look at it again, was just something really special. And I think that that's one of the joys of Christmas, Joe, is being able to experience, just as you said, you know, like sheer joy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that is, you know, what the Godhead had in mind in sending Christ born of a virgin. You know, joy to the world.
That's right.
Kind of, you know, just here you have the Son of God being born into a physical world, having been outside of it for eternity.
Yes.
And now stepping through the spirit realm into the physical realm.
That's right.
And the Godhead knowing what was going to be accomplished by that. Must have been sheer joy for them, you know. Knowing that Christ was going to come to reconcile sinful man back to right relationship with the Father.
Amen.
So that's kind of what I, you know, my whole memory about that first Christmas morning that I can remember. And then imagining myself what that first real Christmas morning was like. You know, I guess the angels put it into the right words, didn't they? Glory to God in the highest.
Amen. Yes. You ready for my question?
I'm ready, Joe.
Okay. Bill, and let me ask this primarily as a father. So you would answer this primarily as a father and a husband.
Okay.
As you reflect on Christmas's past, what would you like to have placed more of an emphasis on, and what would you like to have placed less of an emphasis on?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I'll just talk about last night, Christmas Eve, and kind of what Christmas Eve has become traditionally for us. And, you know, it's become kind of like the celebration of just getting together with your family and stuff like that. But yet there's little regard as far as, you know, the reason that you're doing it. You know, other times you get together, you either have a family reunion or there's a birthday or something like that that you're celebrating. And in this instance, you're celebrating also a birthday, but you know, how much of it, you know, are you doing out of that thought process? You know, this is Christ's birthday, so we're getting together to celebrate that. If there was one thing that I would like to have been able to put more emphasis on as a husband and a father, for my children, it would have been that. And you know what brought that into clear view last night for us, Joe? When we were leaving Susan's sister's house here in Upper Moreland, and traveling to her other sister's house down in Philly, we were getting ready to go outside, and my niece Maria said, "Come on, everyone into the dining room." And, you know, we had already done the pictures and, you know, had too much food almost to, you know, the point where you're ill. So I couldn't imagine why she was calling us into the dining room. And as we get in there, she's in there with her children. And you know how small her children are, Joe.
Yeah.
And and all the adults are standing around, and she brings out a cake. And written on the cake is "Happy Birthday, Jesus." And she's got candles on the cake. And there, right in her dining room, we're all singing "Happy Birthday to Jesus." And I just thought, wow, what a cool tradition to begin, you know, with family and children. And as we were standing around singing it, that was one of the things I was like, wow, I wish I had done something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Because it does bring into clearer focus why you're getting together on that night, you know? So, yeah, really good question, Joe, and obviously one that was spirit-led when you thought of it.
Yeah, and my answer would be, right along those same lines, Bill. I would now, prior to my coming to faith in Jesus Christ, obviously I'm not going to. I was aware of what Christmas was, what people said it was, but I wasn't going to really celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ before coming to faith in Him. But after that, after actually being born again, I would like to have placed more of an emphasis on the reality of the incarnation. There were a number of years where I read from Luke and from Matthew before we actually opened the gifts. But actually explaining it, you know, Bill, why it happened, why God had to take on flesh, why the Son had to come into the world, and what it meant for all of mankind, to actually, you know, not deliver a half-hour sermon, but to, and not just one Christmas, but I would like to have placed more of an emphasis on the reality of what took place in Bethlehem at that point in time over 2,000 years ago, so that, you know, when, as each Christmas approached, you know, they would have been aware of what was really happening, and they would have been prepared, perhaps, to be more reflective and be more thankful and to be less involved with how the world celebrates, actually not the birth of Christ, let's be serious, that what this is, it's a celebration of commerce. That's what this whole 2 and now sometimes 3 month period is. So I would have liked to have placed less of an emphasis on cultivating that atmosphere, Bill, that, you know, the mindset where it'll be a good Christmas if I get what I want, basically a culture of consumerism that's packaged in Christmas. So, I mean, even at this point in time, I wonder what goes through the minds of my wife and my children. And, you know, December 25th isn't the only day we can really reflect on what happened in Bethlehem.
Sure.
You know, this is something that is, it's the most wonderful story ever heard by man's ears. and has entered into his heart, that that God actually took on flesh and came into this world and dwelt among us, walked among us. And you know, when you think about that, all of these things that occur at this time of year, the silly holiday songs and the decorations and all the frivolity, some of them are good and they're fun, but you know, if you cultivate, if you emphasize as a father, and you know, if there are any young fathers listening now, please make sure that you really instill in your children the where the real joy from this of this time of year comes from. What's the genesis of this joy? It's not in getting gifts and toys and you know, the food that is eaten at this time of year. It's what the gift that God has offered. So, man, I wish I would have placed more of an emphasis on that. And as the time comes, when and if the time comes, my children have children of their own. I think that I can maybe instill in them, in my children, how they ought to instill in their children the reality of the real joy of this time of year. And it's the joy that goes with us all throughout the year. But, you know, we celebrate his birth on this day each year. So we feel, you know, we all have time to correct those things and to make sure that we have that sort of an impact for Christ in our family for
amen.
Christmases to come.
Yeah, amen. Well, thanks for that, Joe.
Sure.
All right, Joe and I are going to take a short break here. I'm going to play, this is an original Christmas song, not one that you hear very often sung, but it was as far as a traditional Christmas carol, but it's got some really good music and some good theology behind it. And this is a song called Christmas Angels, and it's sung by Michael W. Smith. And Joe and I will be back, and we're going to go to God's Word. back from our break. This is Answers for the Paranormal, and this is our annual Christmas broadcast where Joe and I get together and we celebrate the rememberings of the time when Jesus came into the world and took on flesh and became the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world.
Mm.
All right, we're going to read from God's Word, and then we're going to have a short devotional. Joe, before you go to the Word, why don't you pray and Christmas broadcast today.
Sure. Father, we are so thankful that we can hear what the angels announced to the shepherds. Glad tidings of great joy, peace on earth, goodwill to men on whom God's favor rests. Lord, we thank you that we can have this joy that every heart longs for, a lasting joy, a joy that is unbreakable, unceasing. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus into this world, born of a virgin, in a feeding trough, in the town of Bethlehem. Thank you that this child who was born to Joseph and Mary and was held by Simeon was the one who was prophesied, who would come into the world and to be the Lamb of God, to live a perfect, sinless life, knowing that the cross was set before him, that he came into the world to declare who the Father is, to fulfill the law, and to destroy the works of the devil. Father, we thank you that we can rejoice this morning, knowing that Jesus Christ was born to save, as the great hymn says, Jesus Christ was born to save. Thank you for his love for us, his faithfulness, and his sacrifice. Help us to reflect on what has been accomplished for us who have received the most precious and perfect of Christmas gifts, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to go to the Word of God now. Joe is going to read from the Gospel of Matthew. This is Matthew chapter 1 and verses 1 through 23.
A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife, Solomon the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asa, Asa the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Jehoram, Jehoram the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Ammon. Ammon, the father of Josiah, and Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abiud. Abiud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Akim. Akim, the father of Eliud. Eliud, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Mathan. Mathan, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ. Thus there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us.
Well, occasionally during this time of the year, there are people who try to seek the true meaning of Christmas. And Joe and I talked a little bit about tonight what the meaning of Christmas should be and what it has become in our culture. Most are seeking some kind of psychological or social significance, but few people seem to be truly interested in what the birth of Jesus Christ means. And, you know, as believers, we shouldn't be alarmed at this, because the world has always rejected their Creator.
Mm.
But the birth of Jesus, for those who believe and love God, has great significance that extends beyond his birth and looks at who Jesus truly is and why he came onto this earth. The believer in God understands that the purpose of his coming has both present and future consequences. So in order for us to get a true picture of what the meaning of the birth of Christ was about, I want us to look at three scenes in history, true events. You know, as part of our icebreaker today, I asked Joe to think about something that he would like to freeze frame as a scene from the past. That's kind of what I want us to do right now, is go back and freeze frame three true historical events that point to the true meaning of the birth of Christ. Each of these events affect every man, every woman, every child, no matter who and when they lived, or their background, whether they were rich or they were poor, whatever their circumstances are, they don't matter. This includes Joe and myself, and includes everyone who is going to listen to this broadcast. So I want you to go with me through each of these scenes, and let's take a look at what is important about these scenes and how it not only affects us, but affects all of mankind. So we're going to go to scene number one now. This is 2,000 years ago, and we find ourselves in a little town in Judah called Bethlehem. And there's a child born to a couple in a stable, and this couple is, they're two strangers in this town. And the reason is because the Roman governor at the time had proclaimed a census be taken. And both Mary and Joseph had to go from their place of residence in Nazareth to Bethlehem. And so it's at this time that they are in Bethlehem that their child is born. And Matthew 1:23 tells us that this baby is different from any other baby that has ever been born on the earth, because his name is Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Isaiah 9:6 tells us that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Emmanuel, God with us. Luke tells us in his gospel that his birth was proclaimed by a host of angels, and the angel said that he was to be the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So why a Savior? Why did the angels proclaim that unto you a Savior is born? Well, we have to understand that 4,000 years before this, in the Garden of Eden, a man had sinned and brought sin and death into this world. And this Savior, this one born of the Virgin, Emmanuel, God with us, was the fulfillment of that promise given to both the man and the woman in the garden. 700 years before he was born, Micah, God's prophet, revealed in Micah 5:2 that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem of Judah, and in Micah 4:8 that the place would be at the Tower of the Flock, where the sacrificial lambs were raised and were sacrificed in the temple in Jerusalem, only 3 miles away. In the Bible, there are over 300 prophecies that concern the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And since man sinned in the garden and the world was plunged into sin, men who believed God were looking and praying for this coming, for this day when a Savior would be born. The second scene that I want us to go to is in another town in Judea. And this is known as the Eternal City, Jerusalem. And Matthew 27:33-44 tells us that 33 years now have passed since this first scene. And this baby born in a feeding trough is now a man. And he is being crucified by the same Roman government that had taxed both Joseph and Mary. 3 years earlier, he had begun his ministry. He preached like no other one had ever preached. He twice fed multitudes of people, one time with only 5 small loaves of bread and a couple fish. And he fed 5,000 people. And all that came to this man were healed, born blind and lame. He told them to see and to rise up and walk, and they did. And in Bethany, a few miles southeast of the city of Jerusalem, Jesus raised a man, Lazarus, from the dead, who had been dead for over 3 days. John says in his gospel, if all the things that Jesus had done had been written, I suppose that even the world itself couldn't contain the books that they would be written in. He had proclaimed that he was the promised Messiah, and his claim was confirmed by these miracles and the things that he preached. In John 10:30, Jesus said, "I and my Father are one," plainly stating that he was God.
Mm.
And in many other passages, he stated that he was the promised Messiah and that he was the Savior of the world. And he had fulfilled to the letter all of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming of this Messiah. And the religious leaders at this time hated him. And they falsely accused him of many things and thus turned him over to Pilate, the Roman governor of the province. And Pilate had listened to the accusations and had found him innocent of any wrongdoing and was going to release him. But even when he tried, he was ridiculed for the choice that he would make. And he said that the people told him that he was no friend of Caesar. And so he offered them a choice between Jesus and a notorious murderer, Barabbas. But the people, urged on by the chief priests and the Pharisees, cried out, "Away with him! Crucify him!" And so, in order to appease the Jews, Pilate turned him over to the soldiers, who took him to a hill outside the city called Calvary, known as the Place of the Skull, and there they hung him on a cross by placing nails through his hands and a spike through his feet. Isaiah 700 years prior told us of this event, saying that every joint in his body would be pulled out, that he would be beaten so badly that he would not be recognizable as a human being. Isaiah 53 gives us a clear picture of this scene taking place on this hill. The religious leaders of the Jews, they hated him so much that even as he hung there on the cross, bleeding and suffering, they mocked him. They laughed at him and scorned at him and said that, "If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross, and then we would believe." So as we look upon this scene, we see a sign over this person's head that says, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." And there on that hill, all eyes are upon him. And those soldiers there, and they're seemingly ambivalent to what's going on. They're unaffected by this torture, this crucifixion, because they're so good at it. This is what they did. They crucified criminals. And they're laughing and they're casting lots to see which of them would get his garments. A little ways off, there's a small group of women crying. And they say that in this group is his mother and his cousins and one of his disciples, John. It's a pitiful scene. It's a ugly scene. Anyone who's ever had the opportunity to watch The Passion of the Christ a little bit can understand what that scene is like. And the emotion welling up within us as we watch this suffering gets a little difficult to bear. And when we look at him, we want to turn away. We can't even look upon such a figure. We can't help but look into his marred face and swollen, bloody, and see the great agony and suffering that he's enduring there on the cross. And as we imagine and look at that scene there, there's a hush as we look at his face, and knowing that we're looking into the face of God, Emmanuel, God with us. And the Bible tells us that the the suffering that he's enduring on that cross is for you, and it's for me. And even those who mocked him, it was for them. For he cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. But the real pain that Jesus is bearing on that cross goes way beyond physical pain. Because on that cross, he's bearing the sin of us all. On that cross, the Father turns his face away. He can't look upon sin. Even though he is the almighty and righteous God, pure and holy, had never sinned in his life, there in his body on that tree, the penalty for all sin of all mankind throughout all the ages is being placed on the righteous one. The suffering that he's bearing is not something that we as sinful men can understand. It's beyond our comprehension. How much he must love us to be God and to be willing to come to this earth and let selfish, sinful men torture him and crucify him on that cross. And then we hear him say, I thirst. And then he cries out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And at that moment, the debt of sin is paid by the one for whom we sent into the world 2,000 years ago. He willingly died on that cross. He said, no man takes my life, but I freely lay it down. Greater love than this hath no man that he lay down his life for his friends. And as he laid down his life, most would look at that as the end. But Jesus won the victory. He conquered death. And 3 days later, he came out of a rented tomb and came to life, life eternal. He immediately appeared to Mary. And then for 50 days after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his cousins, his disciples. He appeared to Peter and to two men on the road to Emmaus. And he was seen by hundreds of people at one time, 500 at once. He was the Savior of the world, and he said that he would. He rose from the dead and conquered death, proving that he won the victory over sin. And now this brings us to the last scene in history. This is a scene that has not come to pass yet. The Bible tells us that this is a scene that is made up of two future events. The first of these events is recorded in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 and in 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52. This event promised by God will occur when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth and all those who have placed their trust in him as their Savior, who have repented of their sins and believed in what Christ accomplished for them at that cross, they will be resurrected and instantly changed and given glorified bodies and taken to heaven. Only those who by faith have accepted Christ will be involved. Those who have accepted him and accepted his gift as payment for their sins will join him in the clouds to be with the Lord forever. Those who have believed they make up the body of Christ who will reign Jesus forever. He died for the world, for you and for me. But the Bible tells us that we know that men will still go to an everlasting place of torment because they have refused to believe and in faith receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. this last scene is called the Great White Throne Judgment in Revelation chapter 20. And only those who are condemned will be cast into this lake of fire, standing here before God. Those that are saved will be witnesses of this. As we stand and we look in awe upon the great white throne, we see the one who is sitting there on the throne. This is the same Jesus, the same one who was born in a feeding trough in Bethlehem. The same Jesus that hung on that old rugged cross, who now sits on the great white throne of judgment. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 tells us that all men will kneel, all tongues will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, and that includes you and me. The first resurrection is prophetic, and it's an event in history that is going to happen when Christ returns. The lost will stand before him also, both great men and small, and the ones who have refused to believe in Christ and have died in their own sins, sadly, they will be turned away by the Lord himself. Depart from me, you who work iniquity, I never knew you. Revelation 20:12 tells us that those who tried to earn their way into heaven, those who tried to serve other gods, those who practiced immorality, homosexuality, those who were adulterers, those who were liars, all those will find their place in the lake of fire. Now I want to take you back to that second scene again, that ugly, gruesome scene on Calvary. I want you to understand that Jesus is there because of your sin and mine. It wasn't the Jews who put them there. It wasn't the Roman soldiers who carried it out. It was our sin that put him on that cross. And the Bible tells us that it pleased the Father to place our sin upon him. And as John 3:16 and 17 tells us, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. As terrifying as the thought of a great white throne judgment is, there's still time while we're in this body. There's still time to repent of our sins and to turn to Christ. And if you've never done that, if you've never come to that place where you've seen your sin as that which separates you from God, won't you now, on this Christmas day, reach out to the one who was born in a manger, the one who died a gruesome death on the cross, and the one who is coming again to bring all those who have placed faith in him to spend eternity with him. Won't you turn to that one, to Jesus Christ, to Emmanuel, God with us? The Bible tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with the heart that man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth that once confess unto salvation. God tells us in Colossians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So friends, we have a choice as to which one of these scenes we're going to stand before today. And God's provided a way for everyone to come again to Him. He's provided that way through Christ. So the choice is clear. The choice is yours. You can choose to accept the offer of forgiveness of sins and eternal life, or you can choose the third scene, which will come in the future. Your rejection today will reap eternal consequences. These truths are a source of joy and rejoicing to the true child of God who has received Christ as their Savior. And Christmas is a wonderful holiday. It's a day to remember that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's a day to thank God for His wonderful love and His mercy that extends to everyone who will receive it. And if you would do that today, if you would receive the gift, then you too will rejoice in the One who came to this earth and died for your sins and mine. And you too can proclaim that He is wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Priests. And Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father, we do rejoice in remembering the birth, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look again, Father, for His coming for those who have placed faith in Him. And Father, we pray right now for someone who we'll be listening to this broadcast, whether live or by podcast in the future. We pray, Lord, that what they heard here today would speak to their heart and show them their need to come to faith in Christ, to accept the free gift of eternal life that is available in Him. We thank You, Father, that You've loved us and that You sent Your Son into the world as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So, Lord, we do pray for that one who is listening. We pray that the Holy Spirit is speaking to them and turning them to Christ, that they too, along with the angels, might declare glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace on those whose His favor rests. Yes. And, Lord, we'll give You all the praise and thanks for those You are going to save in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Joe, thank you for spending the time here again on Christmas morning for us to remember some of the things that we've experienced on Christmas, to listen to some awesome Christmas music, and to be encouraged by the Word of God. I thank you for taking the time away from your family and coming on the air with me and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ.
Excuse me. Thank you also, brother, for telling us in 10 minutes or so that you took very succinctly the greatest story ever told. And as you were speaking, Bill, I was thinking of that movie that one of the movies that Jesus, that Hollywood had done about the life of Jesus, and the title of that movie is The Greatest Story Ever Told. And it's our prayer that that it doesn't just remain a story, you know, as we have fun with the Santa Claus myth. And we don't want to, as fathers and mothers, kind of confuse the reality of the greatest story ever told with a myth. It really happened, and it happened for a reason. And it gives us hope. whereas no other name gives us hope. So I want to thank you, brother, for your preparation and putting a lot of thought into it, and I thank the Lord for your diligence in doing that in 10 minutes, bringing us the wonderful news of salvation. Thank you, brother.
Praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Joe. And thank you to all who have listened in today. And Joe and I want to wish you all the true blessings of Christmas. And hopefully you will take some time today and just reflect upon the meaning of this day. Is it fun to be around all the things that Christmas has today? It sure is. Fun to be with your family. It's fun to be around presents and the holiday wrappings, the beautiful decorations and all those things are great, but hopefully you'll take time today to reflect upon Christ coming into the world to die for you.
Amen.
Joe, have a great Christmas. Hope you and your family have a great day together. And Joe and I want to make a quick announcement here. We'll be back on the air on Thursday night, December the 27th, and we're going to look at an event that took place a couple weeks ago up in Connecticut at Sandy Hook. And hopefully you'll tune in for that broadcast Thursday night at 7:30. So Merry Christmas, Joe, and look forward to speaking with you again later on today. God bless.
To you and your family as well, brother. Okay, God bless.